In what I'm sure will be a continuing theme for the rest of my life, I've been going through a few medical issues, specifically something called myalgia, which is muscle pain, which can be caused either by problems with the muscles or with outside factors affecting your muscles. In my case, we are pretty sure it's a result of the third statin that I took, which was meant to help lower my cholesterol, but which is known to have muscle pain as one of the side effects. What this means is that even though I stopped taking the drug some time ago, I still feel rushes of pain in the morning, in the evening, coming in cycles. I do want to stress, I'm not in a lot of pain, and I'm definitely not experiencing shortness of breath or an inability to move or any of the factors that would make it impossible for me to get through the day. But it does mean that I enjoy naps more than I should, and that I also find myself thinking a lot about the relations between my health, my dreams, and the projects that I've set out for myself. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Eric Vitello, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. It's less about the actual pain, although I'll mention it a little bit. Imagine you've just gone for a very short but brisk run and your muscles are complaining. That's about the level of what I'm experiencing. I'm able to lift things. I'm able to go for long walks. I'm even able to do exercise. But all through it, my body feels like something is not quite right. Occasionally, the area of muscles concerns me only because it overlaps with other experiences in my life. The shoulder pain from a mishap at a park, or the line of my seatbelt after a variety of car accidents. Each time I feel like a patchwork of memories and experiences coming back to remind me that I didn't emerge from them entirely unscathed. One of the reasons it doesn't hurt as much is because I know what's doing it. This isn't some mysterious shock coming through a part of my body that I didn't expect, or having a feeling traveling inside of me and not knowing what's going wrong or if I should even be paying attention to it. I know what this is. It's because the drug which worked on my cholesterol also does a number on my liver, preventing it from creating cholesterol, while also insisting that my liver be miserable the entire time. We knew this didn't work, and so we were looking at another possible medical treatment that I could have, but my doctor told me we would have to try at least 3 of these pills before moving on to the obvious one that we had found. At the time, I didn't make the connection. I just wondered if it was some sort of medical board recommendation or a well-known safety protocol. But no, it was insurance. It turns out this thing that I want is rather expensive, and so insurance companies would much prefer that we end up having one of the other cheaper pills work before giving me an expensive miracle cure. We don't even know if this will work, but we also know what won't work. Finding myself at this crossroads means that I get way too much time to think about the nature of my life and the things that I like to do and what I need to be able to accomplish them. To that end, I find that I am always dreaming of things that I want to do today, next week, next month, next year. I start to sketch them out in boxes and lines and ideas. I contact people who would be a part of them. I ask if they're thinking about how they're going to spend their winter, or if they have something available next week, or start cleaving off portions of my calendar in anticipation of all the things I'll do. For most of my life, I didn't keep any sort of calendar. Everything was a complete mystery to me. I loved waking up and then remembering there were things I had to do, people I needed to see, places I needed to go. Maybe it all didn't make much sense and it wasn't compatible. Maybe I had to be in another town, then come back to where I am, and if I was lucky, stay within the general realm of time. As you can imagine, this made me a fundamentally discombobulated individual, but one who enjoyed the music and the improvisation of living a life outside of structure. As time went on, eventually this didn't work out. With things like the BBS documentary, I suddenly found myself trying to keep track of dozens of trips, going across months and years, and making sure that nothing overlapped or that I wouldn't be in the wrong state, or that I had to drive anywhere between 50 and 100 miles to be able to get from interview 2 to interview 3 of the day. After a while, it became second nature, working with some sort of structure to keep track of my life and make sure nothing got missed. Fundamentally, though, it was really about the people who had pushed aside other important things in their lives to allow this weirdo with a camera to come by and interview them. That's an enormous compliment, and I wanted to make sure that they weren't waiting hours just because I forgot. Once I had the habit of locking out blocks of space and time to be able to do travel and interact with events, I really got into it. I think it all came to a head when I did 17 trips in 1 year and the IRS fundamentally refused to believe that they were all valid to the work I was doing. They actually turned me down for writing off these trips, and I ended up having to spend way more money on that than I expected. But they were. I actually moved from one country to another, one hotel to another, reflecting all these different events and places and people that I loved reaching out to and getting to. And I wouldn't have been able to do that if I hadn't accepted the dull organizational aspects of life. Fast forward to today, and I find myself extremely structured about my days. I'll know that I have to be somewhere at 11 a.m., talk to somebody at 2, interact with some folks at 4, and then get involved in a project at 8. Medical appointments are a part of it, but there's all sorts of organizations that I'm making sure I'm reaching at the right time. Colleges ask me to speak in their classes, podcasts want to do interviews, and even the Internet Archive has a layer, a structure, a wave of meetings, of interactions, of scheduled events that I have to move around. It's completely different than how it used to be. I find myself sneaking in improvisation and not knowing when something's going to happen. I have to almost schedule unscheduled time. But I find that that unscheduled time is some of the most precious to me. It's where I'll call somebody who asked a simple question in email and talk to them for an hour and a half, kind of finding out their thoughts about the things I do and what we're working on and if they have any ideas from the outside that might send me into a new direction. It's me messing around in massive piles of data and discovering new interlocking themes and working with them. And it's the gentle browsing of potential, of ideas that may come to fruition, and thinking about what portion of them I might be able to do, considering the limits. This is where the health comes in. My health is the foundation from which all of these dreams and plans and blocked out times have to grow from, have to depend on, have to ensure that there'll be a me to do the things I want to do in the future. Somewhere along the way, from the surprising heart attack and then other medical issues, I kind of internalized that I wouldn't always know when something terrible was happening before it was happening. There might not be a signal, a firing nerve, a set of feelings, a clear line indication that something is amiss and should be addressed. Throughout my life, I knew that health could always be an issue, but when I was given the gift of being able to stay up night after night and work on things for hours on end and use that time to go further and further into information and ideas and experiences, those vast stretches of unbroken night, I never had to pause to think about the price I was paying along any other consideration. Did I waste that time? I don't think so. I did what I loved. I met people I cared about. I read stories. I learned trivia. I had moments of blistering anger and passionate romance, coursing through an entire mosaic of online and offline experience. I lived a life there, using that reservoir of time and health however I pleased. Now, however, I do count the pennies. I do measure the moments. I consider some things no longer an option that previously I would have considered at least potentially possible. The most obvious one is filming any sort of documentary the way I used to. The ability to throw your body into a morass of open-ended trips and procedures and people, that's just not something I can do anymore. It's not going to come out of how I live now. Besides being away from people I care about, and without disconnecting from my responsibilities and my interactions, I could never hope to reach out to meet the people that I did in the schedule that I played it out for the time that I was a filmmaker. Instead of statements, a lot of my life has become questions. Can I do this? Is this a good idea? What result will come of it? Is it worth the time? Is it worth the effort? I ask myself these things in a pause that I never would have done earlier in my life, because I like to think that the ability to fling myself backwards into the darkness of potential and unknown barriers was being done with an acknowledgement that I was putting myself in various forms of risk. I had things to lose, but it was always something that I could afford to lose. Perhaps what I've reached now at this point in my life is a recognition of things that are too precious to lose, things that are too important to me not to finish and work on, and to treat them as the precious coin of the realm of where I'm living now. In this moment of the stream of time that has clearer and clearer borders on every side, I look forward to working hard on the things that need my energy, while also keeping an eye on myself, my health, the things that I can take care of, and ensuring, we can hope, that I've got a lot of time left, and that however long it is, it's going to be a heck of a lifetime. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bekoianu, Mark Pilgrim, Peter Healy, Emilio Oliveira, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Matt Reynolds, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. A lot of this is fancy that comes from the moments when you can't control 100% how your health feels. I continue to be incredibly lucky with the capabilities I have, the energy I have, and being able to wrench out of every day some of its greatest potential. But the unknowns of medications and aging and always making sure that I don't walk over a signal that years ago I would have ignored with no problem. It's in service of taking the gifts that people have given me, their faith in me, their believing in what I can do, and making sure that I can reward that faith with the most spectacular results that I'm capable of.